thank you. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that in times of life, like the song was saying, that when there's storms or there's things that aren't going right in our lives, where we feel like there's nowhere else we can turn, that you are there walking beside us, that you are there leading and guiding us every step of the way. God, thank you that you never forget us, that you never abandon us, that when we feel that we're at our lowest point, that you are right there beside us. God, help us to be reminded of that. God, I pray for those of us this morning who are maybe going through a storm, who are going through circumstances in their lives that they just don't understand or can't comprehend, or they just don't know what to do. Let us be reminded of who you are, and that in those times we need to turn to you, put our eyes towards you, and that you are there with us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the ability to look into your word and the truth that lies within it. God, I pray that as I speak this morning, that you would speak so clearly through me, and that we would all have open minds, ears, and hearts to receive what it is you have for us this morning. I ask this in your name. Amen. You guys can grab a seat. As I was saying, it's our women's retreat this weekend, and so a lot of our ladies are at retreat in Hope, and so you guys are stuck with me, as Jonathan was saying. You are stuck with me, and so this morning I want to look at a passage in Corinthians, but it's the start of the fall. It's the start of a new year. I know for me, whenever I get back into this time, it's always trying to get back into the routine. It's always trying to get back into, you know, the flow of life and all that kind of stuff. And with summer, it kind of puts an interruption in that, and it's good. But then once fall starts, kind of for me, it was kind of sad, and I never really wanted it to start. But with fall brings some good things too. The start of football, the start of hockey's coming up. I'm believing for a great year for the Leafs. And it's going to be good. And basketball starting up, I'm believing for even a better year for the Raptors. I see you, Caleb. And it's going to be good. Before I get into the message this morning, though, I want to make a quick announcement here. I promised someone that I would embarrass them. Michaela Hartman, who's over there, she is heading out like next weekend to go do YWAM for 5 months. So she's going to be going to Mexico and other places and that kind of stuff. And she said she wanted to come up here and talk, but I told her we didn't have time, and so she couldn't. But would you remember Michaela in your prayers for these next 5 months? She's been an awesome part of our church, someone who's always willing to help out with different things like kids church and VBS and youth. And she's just been an awesome person within this church. And so if you would remember her in your prayers these next 5 months, that would be awesome, believing for great things and great life change to come through this trip for her. So there you go, Mitch. It's good. Okay, so this morning the title of my message is called Paid in Full. Paid in Full. We're looking at the idea of the price that was paid for us by Jesus. Have you ever been somewhere and you're trying to buy something? You ever been somewhere and your bill comes up and the register tells you, hey, this is how much you owe, and you realize you don't have that much money? Anyone ever had that? They say, hey, you owe this much. Maybe you guys all have a lot more money than I did growing up, because I had that a lot. So they'd say, hey, this is how much you owe, and I realize I don't have that much money. And so you try to do the awkward thing of like, oh, I don't need this. What am I thinking? Just take that away. How much is it now? Oh, you know what? I don't need this either. And that awkward moment. Or the worst is if you use your bank card and it comes up like insufficient funds. That's just like a punch to the gut. You're like, you go to pay and like, oh, sorry, it's insufficient funds. And you feel so judged. You feel like everyone's staring at you like, oh, this person's not good with their money. And usually it's like, you know, a 14 or 15-year-old like cashier, and they're like, you feel like they're just judging you, thinking like, this person's not good with money. And you're like, no, I swear there should be money in there. I don't know what's going on. But it's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling when you get there. When I was in college, especially my first year, I had very little money. Very, very little money. I've told this story a bunch of times. I had like $38 for the entire semester. And that's for everything. That's for like any food I wanted to get. That's for like toilet paper I needed to buy. That's for like deodorant, toothpaste, all that stuff. I had such little money that first year. And so for me, I can relate to that. So there was times, honestly, where the only place I could afford to go eat was McDonald's, and they have a value menu, which is awesome, but there was times where, no joke, I would have to log into my online banking and make sure how much money I had, and then do some math to figure out, okay, if I buy this with tax, it comes to this. So I have enough money for that. I can't get a drink, because that takes me over my limit. And so you have to figure out how much money you have. And can I tell you, can I be vulnerable with you guys for just a minute? Can I tell you about a traumatic experience? In my second or third year, I went to McDonald's a lot, and McDonald's decided to do something unthinkable. They raised the price of a double cheeseburger by 40 cents, okay? By 40 cents. That's a 28% increase in price. And so I remember I was going to buy a couple double cheeseburgers because dinner, I didn't enjoy it. It was, I think it was fish. I don't like fish. And so I'm going and I have a little bit of money and I get there and they're like, oh yeah, it's this much money. I'm like, what? Like, you raised the, where was the notice? Like, you can't just do this. Like, you can't just raise the price of double cheeseburgers. And so that was really hard for me. There was no warning for it, and I had such little money, and so I had to only get one double cheeseburger instead of two. And so I had such little money. And so if you've experienced that in your life, you kind of know that when you don't have much money and you're at some place trying to buy something, it's a terrible feeling when you don't have enough money to cover it. And so this morning we're looking at the idea of the price that was paid for us, the price that was paid for our sin by Jesus. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 20. It should be on the screen there, but I will read it for you. It says this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against their own body. And this is the main point we're going to focus on. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. The first thing I want to look at this morning is that you have a purpose, that everyone has a purpose. Everyone. One of the things I don't do very often, because I don't like looking silly or looking foolish to myself, is look back and think about all the things that I wasted money on throughout my life, right? Everyone has those things that they bought, maybe when they were younger, or maybe just recently, that you buy and you think, that was a waste of money. I want you guys to think about that one thing. If you think about, what's that one thing that I wasted money on? And you can think back and go, oh, I wish I didn't buy that. Everyone has that one thing. I don't think it's just me. I think we buy things that we think we want or need, and then sometimes a few months later we realize, what was this? Like, why did I buy this? Or you buy some clothing that you think this looks good and then you never wear it, or that kind of stuff. We buy things that are just, we just waste our money. And for me, one of the things that I wasted money on as a kid was my brother, who's here this morning. He's just out for a second, but he joined karate. He joined karate, and then my parents were picking him up, and so I had to go and I had to watch the end of his karate session. And I saw him, and I saw this awesome like uniform you get when you're in karate. It's like the cool pants and the shirt that goes up with the belt, and you just look so cool. And I was probably about 10 years old, and so I tell my mom, Mom, I want to do karate. My mom is pretty smart. She knew pretty well, and she says, Christian, like, I don't think you actually want to do karate. I said, no, Mom, I got to do karate. And then she saw right through me and said, do you just want the uniform? I'm like, no, Mom, I want to do karate. She's like, I think you just want the uniform. I'm like, no, I want to do karate. She's like, well, if you do it, you're going to have to do it for more than just a few weeks, okay? Like, it can't be something that you just do and then leave. I'm like, no, I want to do karate. She's like, well, if you want, we can just buy you the uniform. I'm like, Mom, I want to do karate, okay? Just let me do karate. And so finally she agrees and says, okay, Christian, you can do karate, but you got to buy your uniform. So I saved up my allowance, said, no worries. I bought my karate uniform. I had my white belt, and within about two, I wore it around the house and stuff. I just loved it. I thought it was so cool. You know, when you're a kid and I did the cape thing too, like the Batman cape, all that stuff. But this uniform was so cool. And so then I bought it. I forget how much it cost, but when you're like 10, it's a lot of money. And so I did about 2 or 3 weeks of lessons, and then I realized, I don't actually like this. I just like this uniform. And so I had to go to my mom and say, so Mom and Dad, I don't think I want to do karate anymore. And they're like, we knew it. I'm like, no, it's just that, you know, there's things have changed, and it wasn't just about the uniform, but I'm going to keep the uniform, though, but I don't want to do karate anymore. And so I wasted this money on a uniform. But then, of course, I grew, and so this uniform was too small, and so it was just a waste of money, right? I think everyone has those circumstances where we waste money. And if you're like me, you're very good at it. But when you buy something in the first place, when you think about, hey, I'm going to buy this, no one buys something that doesn't serve a purpose. No one buys anything if it serves no purpose at all. Now, you might buy something and you might not use it down the road or might never use it, but in the first place for you to buy it, it has to serve a purpose. That's why it's for sale. It's for sale because it has value. The value has been placed on it by someone else because they have it, they know you want it, and so you have to pay to get it because it serves a purpose. And in the same way, we have been bought with a price, and that price was Jesus. Jesus paid the price for us, and so that God sent him to pay the price so that we have purpose and value. We actually have great value because of the price that was paid for us. Like I was saying, nothing gets bought that serves no purpose. And so because we were bought with a price, because there was value placed on us by Jesus, he decided that we were worth dying for, and so he paid the price for us. And so that means that we have to have purpose. Because nothing gets bought that serves no purpose. Our purpose is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to show who he is to others and give him the praise and worship that he deserves. At the end of this verse there, it talks about glorify God in your body. That could also mean glorify God with your body. Glorify God with the things that you do. And our value isn't based off the things that we do. Our value isn't based off the things that we can accomplish or the skills that we have or anything like that. Our value was already established because Jesus decided that we were worth dying for, and that's where we get our value. And that value doesn't change either. That's the amazing thing about it. So many things that we buy in life, we buy it, and then like 2 years later, it's worth nothing. And you think, I spent so much money on this. With this value that we get from Jesus, there is no depreciation whatsoever. Our value is determined, it is permanent, and it is never changing. No matter what you think about yourself, you have a purpose because you have been bought. So you have value and a purpose because Jesus decided that you were worth dying for. The second thing I want to look at is that you have been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. Like I said, you have a purpose because you have been bought. You wouldn't have been bought if you had no value. And the price for our sin has already been paid. Talks about that in the end of this verse. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. One thing that I hate doing, I hate grocery shopping. Hate it. You guys in Omega, you guys are living the dream right now. You might not enjoy cafeteria food, but can I tell you how awesome it is to just show up and there's food? It's amazing. It's amazing. I hate grocery shopping. I hate it. I hate having to go to the store, especially when I'm hungry. Never go shopping when you're hungry. You'll buy everything in sight. Like, this looks good, this looks good. You spend so much money. But I hate grocery shopping. I hate it. I hate having to think about what I want to eat next Thursday. I don't know what I want to eat next Thursday. I hate it. Hate shopping. So usually I just buy like frozen pizzas, especially if Elise isn't there because I know I always feel like pizza. But I hate grocery shopping. Hate it. You're walking around trying to find different things, especially if you're like following a recipe. Like a new recipe, because you have no idea where certain ingredients are, so you're walking around trying to find it. You're asking someone, they don't know. And I hate grocery shopping. I hate it. Never want to go. Elise does a lot of our grocery shopping, my wife, and sometimes she'll ask, hey, Christian, do you want to come? And sometimes I'm a good husband, and I say, yeah, I'll come. Sometimes I'm a bad husband and say, I'd prefer not to. don't enjoy grocery shopping whatsoever. I don't enjoy it at all. But just a little while ago, there was this thing that came out that I think is unbelievable. I think this thing is, someone had a vision from God, and they thought of this idea. We do our shopping at Superstore. We live close to Superstore. And Superstore has this thing called Click and Collect. Have you ever heard of this? It's unbelievable. Basically, you go online from the comfort of your home, and you pick out what you want to eat, and then you pick a time, and then you go pick it up. It's unbelievable. It's awesome. You can pick out your fruits, your vegetables. I don't know what a tomato is supposed to feel like. I don't know what a great onion looks like, but Superstore does. And so when I go in and I type out what I want, they give me all the stuff I need. I drive up. It's $5 too. Like, I'll pay $5 for that any day of the week. You drive up, you pick it up, and you leave. You don't have to go in the store. You feel like you're robbing the place, honestly, because you drive up, you've already paid, but you kind of forget that you paid, and so you pull up, they walk out, hey, you're a Christian, yep, here's your food. Thanks. We're good here? Yeah, you're good. All right, drive away. It's awesome. It's so, so good. So, so good. You order online, you pick it up, you leave. The price has already been paid. All you have to do is pick it up because you've already paid for it. Now, when I think about this idea and I think about Jesus, it's kind of similar. It's kind of similar. But instead of for click and collect, you actually have to do the payment. How awesome would it be if someone else just paid for you and then you just go pick it up? But click and collect, you have to pay. But for Jesus, the price for us, for our sin, has already been paid. It's already been paid. All we have to do is show up, accept it, and then go live in it. So good. Similar to the click and collect, all you have to do is accept it and then go live in it. Just go pick it up and live in it. It's honestly that simple. The price for us, for our sin, has already been taken care of, and we don't have to worry or stress about the things that have happened in our past, the things that we've done in the past, or anything like that, because it's already been taken care of. When you get your bills in the mail and you look at it, and maybe you're a bit stressed, thinking, how am I going to pay for this? If you got a bill in the mail saying, hey, your bill's paid, you just take it and you throw it out. You don't worry about it. You don't stress about it because it's already been taken care of. It's the same with Jesus. The price for us has already been paid. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to think about, hey, I have to do this thing or that thing to live up to this price that's been paid. It's already been taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to stress about it. We just have to live in it. We have a purpose, and our value was already determined because Jesus thought that we were worth dying for. The price has already been paid. The only way click and collect could get better is if someone else paid for it, and then I go pick it up. I thought about, I wonder if someone could just like say that they're this person. Like they could just sneak up and be like, pulling, hey, are you like Steve? Yeah, I'm Steve. Pick up the groceries and leave. Like, what did Steve order for me today, right? How awesome would that be? You know, it'd be stealing, so don't do it. But that would make it better. But that's basically what Jesus did for us. He's paid for it. We got to just collect it. That's all it is. He's paid for it. We just have to collect it. There's a show on TV called Storage Wars. Anyone ever seen Storage Wars? Yeah, Storage Wars was a good show. I don't watch it so much anymore, but I used to love it. If you've never seen it, basically what happens is it's about these like five people, and they go to different storage units that have been not paid for by their owner. So if an owner has a storage unit and has stuff in it and doesn't pay their bill for an extended period of time, then the storage unit now has access to it, and they have like an auction. And so these people would come up, and they can't go in the actual unit. They just have to look. So they have about 2 minutes to like look in there to see, hey, does it look good? And if it does look good, then they bid on it. So I used to love this show because it was just really cool. Sometimes they'd pay like $100 for a unit, and then they'd get like tons of stuff from it, and they'd sell it, and they'd make all this money. But one thing I never really understood is there's some things that they find that are they're supposedly worth so much money, but I'm like, who would ever buy that? There's this expression that says something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. Ever heard that before? Something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for. And so I remember one time I was watching, and this guy bought a locker, and then he found some old newspapers from around the time that Elvis died. And so they decided that these newspapers are worth like $90,000. I know what you're thinking. I'm going to save all my newspapers now, and hopefully they'll be worth some money. But I'm thinking, like, I would never pay for those newspapers. Like, I would never pay anywhere close to $90,000 for those newspapers, because for me, it's not worth it. That value is way too much for me. Something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. Now, for us, what does that mean? Looking at the idea that Jesus paid the price for us, if we look at that expression of something is only worth what someone's willing to pay for it, well, Jesus paid everything for us. Jesus gave himself. He gave everything he was for us. So then how much then does that make us worth to him? If something is only worth what someone is willing to pay, how much value then do we have because of the price that Jesus paid for us? We have extreme value. We need to remember that. We have so much value. There is so much purpose to us because of the price that was paid for us. You have been bought with the price, and we have the freedom to live in that. We need to remember that. When we think like, oh, I don't know if I can bring anything to the table, or I need to do this so that God will love me more, or if I just do this, or if I just, read my Bible more, or pray more, or go to church more, or volunteer more. That stuff is good, but that's not going to define how valuable you are to Jesus. It's not going to make a difference whatsoever. The price was already paid. So you have a purpose, and you've been bought with a price, but how do we live like that? It's easy for me to say, hey, you have a purpose. You've been bought with a price. Like, go and live like that. But what does that look like? What does it look like to live like we have been bought? What does it look like to live like we have a purpose? I think the answer to that is at the end of this passage here that I read. It says, glorify God in your body or with your body. Almost everything that we do can be used to glorify God. So I would suggest that if we're meant to live in a way that shows that we have been bought and that we have a purpose, the best way to do that is to glorify God in everything that we do. In everything that we do. The verse says that we'll be raised up by his power. Through his power, through everything that we do, we can bring glory and honor to him. Through our work, through our school, through sports, through our family, through video games. I know a guy, no joke, he plays video games online and witnesses to people. He'll be playing a football game called Madden online. He'll be talking with a guy through the headset, start talking about Jesus. Anything you do, you can use to bring glory to God. The catch with that, though, is there's obviously some things that can't bring glory to God because you're disobeying what he's calling us to do in the first place. Right? There's some things that we can't use to bring glory to God because we're being disobedient when we do them. Us sinning can't bring glory to God because we're ignoring what he says to do. Although our past sin can be used as a way to show glory to God because of the grace that he shows us. But in the moment, we can't say, oh, I'm sinning, so I'm bringing glory to God. Can't do it. But in so many other ways, we can bring glory to him through the things that we do. An easy way to figure out, hey, should I be doing this, is to think, can I bring glory to God through this? Now, I'm not saying that every single thing you do in your life, you have to think, how can I bring glory, like, how does this glorify God? Like, okay, if I'm brushing my teeth, you know, how can I do that to glorify God? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the things that you do in life, if you're really worried about it, like, hey, should I do this or should I not do this? Think about, does it glorify God? Does it bring honor to God? Or how can I bring glory or honor to God through this? Because if you can't, we need to flee from it. It talks about fleeing from different sins in this passage. Flee from it. I think of the story of Joseph. He worked for a guy named Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, and Joseph ran away. He fleed from it. I think that's the idea that Paul had in mind when he was talking about fleeing from sexual immorality. We need to flee from it. We need to think about, hey, does this bring glory to God? And if it doesn't, then maybe we shouldn't be doing it. We can put all these rules or things in place to try and help us, but ultimately, rules don't make people make wise choices. You can put rules in place. You can say, hey, this is what it means to be a Christian. Bam, 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 bam. Someone can accomplish and follow those rules, but that doesn't help someone make wise choices. Teaching someone helps them make wise choices. Showing them, hey, this is what it looks like, and this is why maybe we don't do this, and this is why maybe we should think about maybe not doing that. Teaching brings about wise choices. And so for us, I would suggest that we need to look at what we're doing in our life. We need to be challenged in the fact that, hey, how can I bring glory to God through this? Not just fall into the routine that can so easily happen in the fall where you can say, all right, I'm back into the routine, but be challenged. How can I bring honor and glory to God through what I'm doing? Gordo, who's our intern, I didn't tell you I was going to say this, Gordo, but Gordo, who's our intern this year with our young adults and with Elise, he works in Burns Lake during the summers and works at a mill. Is it a mill?
Yeah.
And Gordo uses that as a way to be a witness to Jesus. He has great conversations with these guys about faith. That's what it looks like to what you're doing, use it to glorify God. It's not like going to the mill is a place that you'd think, I'm going to do ministry here at the mill. But if you go with the mindset of thinking, how can I honor and glorify God through this, then cool things can happen. You should ask Gordo sometimes about the conversations he's had with people at the mill about Jesus. If we can't bring glory to God with what we're doing, maybe we shouldn't be doing it. That's what a life living for Jesus looks like. That's how you can live in purpose and live like you've been bought with a price, by being aware and trying to challenge yourself to bring honor and glory to God in everything that you're doing. When you buy something expensive, when you buy something that's really valuable, you treat it with care, right? No one buys something really expensive and then just treats it like trash. Like if someone paid $90,000 for these clippings of Elvis in the newspaper, they're not going to use that to like cover up their dog's mess. They're not going to use it to like, oh, rip a piece off and write on it. They're going to treat it with care, right? They're going to put it in a frame. They're going to, you know, treat it with special things because they paid a lot of money for it. It's valuable. It was expensive. You're going to treat it with care. Well, our lives were bought with a price, and it wasn't cheap. We need to treat them with care. What are we going to do with our lives? How are we going to bring glory to God through them? I want you to think about that this week. It's so easy to get caught in the mundane routine of life and just wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, you know, do whatever, and then get caught up in the routine. But how can we use that to bring honor and glory to God? How can I? It's the same for me. It's not just, oh, I'm a pastor, so my life is honor and glory. I have certain things that I can, that in my life, whether I'm going to get a haircut or whether I'm going to the store, how can I use those opportunities to bring honor and glory to God? I want to challenge you guys with that as we close. Is what are you going to do in your life that's going to bring honor and glory to God? Because you've been bought with a price. There's value to you. So we need to treat it with care. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for the price that was paid for us. Thank you so much that the value that you have for us isn't determined or based off the things that we do or say or don't do, but the value that has been placed on us has been put there because we were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. God, thank you that the value that you have for us doesn't change based on anything in our lives. God, I pray that we would remember that. I pray that if there's some of us who are discouraged, thinking that we're not good enough, maybe thinking that, hey, we're not a good enough Christian, that we would remind ourselves that our value isn't based on that. God, as we leave this place, as we can go about our routine for the week, whether it's work or school, God, I pray that you would put in our minds ways that we could bring honor and glory to you. God, would you make us creative in how we can bring honor and glory to you? Like my friend who plays video games online and talks about you, let us be creative. Let us bring you where we are. Let us bring you to the people as opposed to trying to get them to come to us. God, I pray this week that we would have opportunities to do that. God, I pray that this week we would have that in our minds, that we would be challenged by that. God, you are so good. Thank you for the price that was paid for us. Help us to live in that. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week. Reminder, there's Fall Fair. Sign up if you're interested. Fall Fair is going to be a great time. That is a great time to invite friends to church. There's free food, all that stuff. There's games for the kids. It's going to be a great time. So if you want to get information about that, you can sign up by the turkey. We'll see you next week. Make sure you say hi to the Omegas. Try to memorize their names. They'll be very impressed. And then if you memorize their name, then they're going to feel obligated to memorize your name. So it's really, you know, both ways. Awesome. See you next week.